Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to 4 beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on 4 continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, we do what we do because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. Or write CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. If there is one thing preserved in the text of Scripture, it is the injunction to record God's words upon the tablet of your heart. Think back for a moment to the early stages of the Bible, and what may well be among the most memorable of all biblical texts. The prophet Moses exhorts the people of God to impress the words of the Almighty upon the tablet of their consciousness. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. Above all, do not forget. And of course, Moses wasn't alone. Solomon prayed for a wise and discerning heart. He implored his hearers to bind the word of God around their fingers, their necks, to write it on the tablet of their heart. And Jesus said, let the words sink into your ears. It's not enough to record the sayings of understanding on a common tablet. It is to be inscribed on the tablet of your heart. We're in a battle for the culture, and that battle for the culture involves a battle for the Bible. And as a result of that, we've decided to name our 2010 CRI National Conference Battle for the Bible. It all takes place May 7th and May 8th in Tampa Bay, Florida, at the beautiful Innisbrook Resort. Early registration for the conference begins at an incredibly low rate of just $49 a person. If you want to be relevant and demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority, be equipped at this conference. There's so much going on. Events for mothers, events for children. This is going to be an epic event to equip you, to inoculate your children. So join us. You can do that by going to the World Wide Web at equip.org and just click on the Battle for the Bible, or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. You'll see that number on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Get involved. We got great speakers, Lee Strobel, James White, a host of others. Join us for an event that will be literally life transformational. And if you can, following the conference, a cruise. It's called The Word. I teach every single day. We do theology talks so you can ask questions, interact. It's a great time. Caribbean cruise. Check it all out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. First up today, Joy. She's listening on KCIV in Modesto, California. Hi, Joy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. My question was about when Adam and Eve were created and their offspring, who was incest okay? Why, and if so, why was it okay?
Well, it wasn't considered incest because genetic imperfections accumulated gradually over time. There was simply no need or prohibition against incest in the earliest stages of human civilization. The Levitical law against incestuous relationships was given by God hundreds of years after the time of Adam and his children, at the time of Moses.
Okay, but wouldn't that interfere with the natural boundaries that should be between brother and sister, mother, son, cousins? I mean, you can't imagine that in this day and age. And I'm not saying that. I'm just asking for an explanation.
Well, this is not one thing
that comes up a lot when people ask me about my faith.
Yes. Well, this is not to suggest that a son has a relationship with his mother. But if you look at the propagation of the human race, how's it going to propagate and not die out at the early stages of civilization? And why is it that a boy cannot marry his niece? That's not necessarily a problem. The problem comes because of genetic imperfections that accumulate gradually over time. And that's why you have the law against incestual relationships. It was not even considered incest in the early stages of civilization. It was a mere way of propagating the race.
Okay. I can't imagine my children, for example, and I know that it's not necessary now because there's tons of other people to look on and to marry and to have sex with, but you wouldn't want that within your family. You wouldn't want your son and daughter marrying and having children.
Well, again, this would have happened at the early stages of civilization because from one man and one woman come all the people on planet Earth. We have Paul saying that eloquently in Acts chapter 17, for from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. Well, how's it going to happen? Adam and Eve had to have children. And the children that they had to intermarry to have further children. Otherwise, the race would have died out. Now, once the human race had propagated and there were lots of people, then you have imperfections that gradually accumulate, and therefore you have to have laws against these kinds of relationships for pragmatic reasons. I think what's a lot worse is what we have in our culture today, where people marry for lust as opposed to for love, where people don't understand that love is a commitment. They think that love is a feeling. And that's where you really run into problems, because what happens then is you have divorces and people looking for the grass that's green on the other side of the fence, and it's usually dead.
Okay. Thanks for explaining that.
You got it. Thank you for your question. We'll go back to the phone lines. Talk to Tony listening on KKLA in California. Hi, Tony.
Brother Hank, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Brother, 2 years ago, I was led to start a group in the high desert area. And I'm doing research right now, trying to put together the best possible discipleship program that I can put for my brothers. And I wanted to ask you, what would you recommend for a new church to use? I'm sure you've seen discipleship programs out there.
Well,
and I'm ministering to the Spanish community in my area, so I would need something in Spanish. And so I'm doing some research, and I thought, who would be best to call?
Well, I've written about the steps of discipleship and growth, and of course, there's no mystery in this. I mean, it all gets back to basics, the first basic being prayer. Because through prayer, we develop intimacy with the lover of our soul. I actually put together a little program on that, which is available on DVD. It's based around the model of prayer, the prayer of Jesus. Now, obviously, if you are meditating on the Word of God, that becomes the missing link between the intake of Scripture and effective prayer life. So it's very important that you teach people how to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into them. And so the Bible becomes the basis for that. In terms of discipleship programs, specific programs, there are all kinds of good programs out there that can be used. I know one that's in Spanish is Evangelism Explosion, in terms of discipling people so that they can communicate what they believe and why they believe it. That's one thing you could check into. I'm up against the clock, unfortunately. If you hang on, we can talk some more with some of our staff about discipleship programs which are available, and see if we can guide you to some that are in the Spanish language as well. Thanks for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program is ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? A special one-time gift would help us fulfill our mission to provide Christians carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers to their most pressing questions. To donate, call us at 888-7000-274, where our resource consultants are waiting for your call. Or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelical evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader whose birthday is now marked by a national holiday. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage. How should Christians handle tithing in the current economic climate? The Internet Mission Field, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises. Starting at just $599, cabins are going quickly. So register soon by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to equip.org. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenim series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenim Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they present the God-breathed, unparalleled, and absolute authority of Scripture and challenge skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Inspirational worship led by Grammy Award-winning composer Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is the Bible true. Plan now to attend the Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss. May 6th through 8th at the Ennisbrook Resort and Golf Club in beautiful Tampa, Florida. For more information and to register, visit us online at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Now, back to the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners like you. For your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, a personalized copy of the Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition will be on the way to you. I'll personalize it to a family member, a friend, a co-worker, or to you personally, $100 or more, that keeps this ministry circling the globe. For your gift of $250 or more, a personalized copy of the Legacy Study Bible with the Legacy Reading Plan. All of that available. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you call us at 888-7000-CRI, you can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Nicole, up next, listening in Kansas on KCCV. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Hank. My question is, I've recently just gotten back into the church, and you know, we're doing it as a family, but I'm just kind of having a, as far as the Christian faith, what evidence do we have that we are following the right God?
Well, remember that unlike other religions, the Christian faith is rooted in history and evidence, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. He was born during the reign of Caesar Augustus. He was put to death by Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was a first century Roman governor. And the testimony of his life, death, and resurrection is validated by credible eyewitnesses and by credible extra-biblical evidence. And no other religion can legitimately claim that kind of support from history and evidence. So as a believer, you can know that God created the universe, but that God is not just transcendent. You can find a transcendent God in Islam. But in Christianity, God condescends to cloak himself in human flesh to live among us, to live the perfect life that we could never live so that we can be reconciled to him for time and for eternity. And Jesus ultimately demonstrates that he is God through the immutable fact of resurrection. And not only so, but we can have real faith in the authority that God has given us. The Word of God is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. The Bible is demonstrably divine rather than merely human in origin. If you look at other religious writings, they fail that test. So Christianity is rooted in dependable history and evidence.
Now, how do you answer somebody that states that, you know, but a human wrote those words?
Well, you know, that's true.
You know, as a human, you could have made error. They could have, you know, it could have been fiction writing.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. The Bible was written by human beings, but they were carried along by the Spirit of God. In other words, inspired by the Spirit of God. God didn't use them as automatons or dictation machines. He used their personalities, but they wrote down his words and his thoughts. And you see that in the marvelous way in which these writers were able to write about things that were yet future. And as you look at the evidence, you see that you can't pawn off the kinds of prophecies that you find in the Bible to good luck or common sense or good guessing. These are prophecies made and then meticulously fulfilled. But you also see that the documentation that you find in the Bible corresponds with the details you find in the soil. In other words, archaeological digs have ratified what is documented in the Word of God. And I usually say with virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, you find more and more testimony to the veracity of the Word of God. And this is something that we shouldn't take for granted, because in recent history, we have been able to demonstrate through archaeology as well as DNA testing that the Book of Mormon does not stand the test of time. If the Bible were something that you could not rely on, we would know that. For example, Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. If the corpse of Christ were found, the resurrection would be null and void. So there's a lot that could disprove the Bible over 2,000 years of history. But the reality is, the more we look, the more certain our faith, or as one said, the firmer the rock upon which our faith is founded, appears.
Thank you very much. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, thank you so much for your call. And do remember, everybody listening in, that Christianity is unique in that it is a coherent belief structure. Some Christian doctrines may transcend comprehension. However, unlike the claims of other religions, they are never irrational or contradictory. And Christianity is also unique in that it cogently accounts for the vast array of phenomena that we encounter in everyday life, the human mind, laws of science, laws of logic, ethical norms, justice, love, meaning in life, the problem of evil and suffering, and of course, truth, which is that which corresponds to reality. In other words, Christianity corresponds with the reality of our present condition. Christianity has been tested and found to be faithful and true. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Tom, listening on KPDQ in Milwaukee, Oregon. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how you doing? God bless you, Hank.
Thank you. God bless you.
I didn't know where you fell on the subject. I was calling about millennial views. Now, I've leaned in the direction of, I believe, is known as dispensationalism or premillennial views. I wanted to know where you fell, what your views on that was. And without even knowing that before, I'd like to also ask what you felt about the amillennial view.
Well, the amillennial view is the view that the millennium is a period of time between the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. The premillennial view talks about the notion that after the second coming of Jesus Christ, there is going to be a thousand-year reign with rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifice. And at the end of that reign, there's going to be a great uprising of evil, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle in number. They're like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the people he loves. So that view is a semi-golden age that takes place after the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe that the millennium, which is only mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 as a thousand-year period of time, is mentioned in a metaphorical sense. In other words, if you look at how thousand is used as a whole number throughout Scripture, you find it's always used metaphorically. So in an apocalyptic treatise, it is highly unlikely that we should pour that language into some kind of a wooden literal labyrinth. If you look at thousand throughout the Bible, God says to the Israelites, I'm going to increase your number a thousand times. God says that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with cattle or hills. It is a way of saying in metaphor that God owns everything. So the notion of thousand is a notion of God eternally and everlastingly sustaining the martyrs that you find in Revelation chapter 20. They're going to suffer for 10 days, a relatively short period of time, and we don't want to take that in a wooden literal sense either. But they're going to be vindicated for a thousand years. Their vindication is going to be an everlasting, eternal vindication. I think that's the point. So I don't like the notion of trying to take this thousand, which is used metaphorically throughout Scripture, and then in an apocalyptic genre of literature, press that language into a wooden literal labyrinth. I think that's misguided. And I think the whole notion of a thousand-year semi-golden age, I don't know. That's an odd idea. My dad died in 1997. My dad died with the hope of resurrection. When he comes back, he is going to come back at a new heaven and new earth where indwells righteousness, no more death or mourning, crying or pain, for then the old order things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new. I'm going to have to leave it at that, unfortunately. I've written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be back in just a few moments.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org. If you're leaving us now, you can catch more of the Bible Answer Man on our website at equip.org. For everyone else, stay with us. We'll be back after this short break.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read.
Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition. Do you ever find yourself in such a hurry that you come to God in prayer with a list of requests, and before your knees ever touch the ground, you're already thinking about the next thing you need to do? Many Christians struggle to have a meaningful and effective prayer life, but so often we get it backwards. We want a relationship with God without investing any time into that relationship. Hank Hanegraaff gives you the solution in The Prayer of Jesus. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org. Now, back to the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Always good to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial the number 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265, our address box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I want to go to the phone lines. Talk to Deborah, listening on WCRV in Mississippi. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Hank. I wanted to ask a question about Hebrews. I'm reading the New Testament, and I came on chapter 11. It's about faith, and it kind of goes back and tells about people from the Old Testament and about their faith and how strong it was. And I understood it until I got to the very end of the chapter, and it talks about a certain, like certain people, and it just calls them other people, and it says they were known for their faith, but none of them received what God had promised. And I just wondered about that, why they didn't. And then there was a question about angels in chapter 13, where it said to remember to welcome strangers into your homes. Some people have done this and have welcomed angels without knowing it. And I just wondered if angels can be people that walking around that we wouldn't know.
Well, yes and no. Certainly, this is an allusion to what happened in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, you find appearances of angels. For example, Abraham entertained the Lord and two angels on the plains of Mamre. So in the Old Testament, there are examples of angelophanies where God allows angels to take human form. God has creative power. God can do that. But this is certainly not something that we would expect to be normative in our epoch of time. God has already spoken to us in his word through Jesus Christ. And just as the angel of the Lord appeared in the Old Testament, in the New Testament we see Jesus Christ in the incarnation, and we're not going to see Jesus Christ again until he appears a second time, as the book of Hebrews tells us. But with respect to the passage that you're talking about, Hebrews chapter 11, this is the great faith chapter, and in that faith chapter, you have great men and women of faith who are lauded for their faith. In fact, chapter 12 talks about them in saying, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, the great cloud of witnesses spoken of here are the very people that you're asking about. They're the very people that are depicted in the great Faith Hall of Fame chapter. So you have Rahab. She had faith. She believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and therefore she welcomed spies and was not killed with those who were disobedient. You have Samson and Gideon and David and Samuel. So you have a great number of patriarchs and saints that are a cloud of witnesses, and that is what the Bible is talking about. Abraham is the first. Abraham looked forward to a city whose foundations were not earthly foundations. He looked forward not to a Jerusalem on earth, but a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. So the passage that you're talking about, God had planned something better for those saints, not only for us who are those who read about them, but also together with us, they looked forward to the perfect, and that perfect is a new heaven, a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Okay, so that last the last verse then, it wasn't, and when it said they were known for their faith, but none of them received what God had promised, it means the future, like what we're waiting for.
Exactly. They looked forward to a heavenly Jerusalem. They looked forward in faith. And even Abraham, he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, but he never really received the earthly promise. And the earthly promise was but an earnest that looked forward to a heavenly promise. Moses only saw the land of Israel from afar. It was Joshua that led the children of Israel into the promised land. But the promised land, again, was but an earnest to something far greater. The promised land gave the children of Israel rest from their wanderings in exile in the desert.
Yeah.
Jesus gives us rest eternally from our sin and from separation from Jesus Christ. So it is Jesus that ultimately is what we look forward to, not Jerusalem, but Jesus who is the fulfillment of Jerusalem.
Well, I heard you talking about your father earlier, dying in 1997, and so that kind of made me think about, I don't know where this verse is, but the one that says to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. So that's the spirit, though, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. We as human beings have a physical and a non-physical aspect to our humanity. So we're body-soul unities. When a woman gives birth, she does not give birth to a mere body, but she gives birth to a body-soul unity. What happens at death is there's an unnatural separation between the body and the soul. The body goes back to the dust from whence it came, and the spirit goes to be with the Lord, to Abraham's bosom or paradise, as Jesus depicted it, the presence of the Lord. So that communicates relationship with God. So my dad, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And he is awaiting the ultimate fulfillment of the promise, which is a time when Jesus Christ comes back and he establishes a new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And then my dad's soul will return to his body and he will be complete as a human being again. So yeah, Paul says, I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is much better. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, home in the body means absent from the Lord. Absent from the body means to be at home with the Lord. So in relationship with the Lord. But again, just as my dad, Paul is awaiting something grand and glorious, which is yet future. When the Lord returns a second time, then his soul will return to his body, and he will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible.
Is that what paradise is called then?
Yes, yes. Yeah, paradise, here's what you have in the sequence. You have God creating paradise, and paradise is not only a beautiful earth, but it is a relationship with God. Well, that relationship was torn apart as a result of the choice that Adam and Eve made.
Yeah.
God created them as volitional beings. They could choose to have relationship and fellowship with God or do it their own way. As a result of their sin, they fell into lives of perpetual disobedience and separation from God. And the rest of the Bible is God's redemptive plan, which culminates not in Palestine, but in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So, paradise lost is going to become paradise restored. The earth now is groaning in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, and that is yet future. Our bodies also groan because our bodies are decaying, our bodies are dying. So we're looking forward to the time that our bodies will be transformed, when we will be resurrected like Christ was resurrected. So the Christian faith does not give us a peaceful way to come to terms with death, but something far greater, a way to overcome death through the promise of resurrection when we inherit paradise restored, a new heaven, a new earth, as depicted in Revelation chapter 21. Read about it. It is absolutely grand and glorious. Out of time for this segment, but I will be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. In the meantime, pray for this ministry and support it financially if you can. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back, so don't go away.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. profoundly changed America with his nonviolent resistance to racial segregation and discrimination, but his philosophy and theology include some dubious beliefs and influences. In this installment of our Philosophers series, we consider how evangelicals should view this complicated African-American leader whose birthday is now marked by a national holiday. In this issue, you'll also find insightful articles on the biblical view of divorce and remarriage. How should Christians handle tithing in the current economic climate, the internet mission field, and all of our regular features that you've come to enjoy?
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military operations.
The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead, based on sound Bible doctrine. That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. It covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible says. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or look online at equip.org.
Our passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our callers. Next up is Grace, listening on WMCA in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Hank. It's a pleasure to listen to you because you are anointed in the knowledge of the Word of God.
Oh, thank you,
My
Grace.
My question is this. Is the Spirit can die? Can the Spirit die?
No, the Spirit is eternal. There's a sense in which the Spirit can die, but then it is an equivocation on death. It all depends on what you mean by death. Spiritual death means separation from God. But that does not mean that the Spirit is extinguished or ceases to exist. No, Jesus Christ gave us a very graphic depiction of what happens when we're spiritually separated from Him. Remember, He tells in Luke 16 the parable of a rich man and a beggar who lies by the gate of the rich man. Both die. The rich man ends up in torment. Now, his body goes back to the ground, but his spirit continues on, and his spirit is in torment. Why? Because he is separated from the grace and goodness of God, and that is depicted as absolute, terrifying torment. The beggar, on the other hand, ends up in Abraham's bosom or paradise, which is a place of bliss because you are in fellowship with your Creator. So that spirit is experiencing life that is life indeed, and it is looking forward to real life because at the end of time, Jesus will return a second time, as the book of Hebrews explains. He will appear a second time, and as a result of that, we will be gathered to him. And what that means is the spirit that continues to exist in fellowship with God will return to the body, and that body, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And then we'll live in a new heaven and a new earth forever and ever in the presence of God.
Yes, Hank, but what about this, in case when the rapture with the Satan and his angel, when they say that Christ is caught, he will go in hell, Satan and his angel will be hell, will be in hell, a fire. So why doesn't God destroy his spirit? Why he's still alive?
Well, God does not destroy the crowning jewels of his creation. Neither human beings nor satanic beings. He continues to sustain them in existence, albeit an existence apart from his goodness and grace. So God does not rub out the crowning jewels of his creation. Human beings who do not want a relationship with him, he allows to continue to exist apart from that relationship, as is the case with Satan and the fallen angels.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Grace, thank you so much for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Randy, KKLA, in Monterey Park, California. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Hank. I have a question. We're having a life group at our church, and I'm really growing from it a lot. It's wonderful. There was a question that came up regarding the existence of Satan, and so our pastor, in an attempt to answer, he quoted Ezekiel 28:12, I guess, where God's speaking to the king of Tyre, and then he said that we also understand this to be referencing the description of Satan. I'm just not, is that true? Or?
Yeah, I think that is true. I think that's absolutely on point. Ezekiel was describing the king of Tyre as a human type personifying Satan, as a satanic human ruler. He was motivated by the same sins as those imbued by Satan, and he would ultimately suffer the same judgment as Satan. So this is a description of the king of Tyre, and the fall of this wicked king is a parallel to the fall of Satan, because in both cases, besetting sin is pride. So the language here is poetic. Obviously, he was not literally in Eden like Satan was, king of Tyre. He was not an anointed cherub like Satan was, and he was not on the holy mount of God. The poetic language draws parallels between the two.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, Randy. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Reggie next, listening on KSIV in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Reggie.
Hello, Hank, again. How you doing, sir?
Good to talk to you.
Always, always. Just love your ministry. Love your ministry. Got another situation here. The Illuminati.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of big. We got some big rap star coming here in St. Louis soon, and members of our church are talking about it, you know, but he's a part of the Illuminati, so I know it's a cult, but I need to get kind of hear your point on it, and then I'm gonna take it from there with more study.
Yeah, it's really a conspiracy theory. The idea behind it is that it is a satanic ruling council, a carefully crafted cartel. And in that cartel, you have policemen and politicians and pastors, and these policemen, politicians, and pastors are secretly engaged in subterfuge in order to advance their satanic agenda, an agenda that they say has moved Satanism into the very halls of power as well as sanctuaries of churches. Now, this is the conspiracy theory, and people talk about it. They make all kinds of money on it. They write books on it. There was a guy named Mike Warnke who introduced himself as an ex-Satanist high priest who ran more than 1,500 members of the Brotherhood in Southern California. He was an insider of the Illuminati, Satanism's premier governing body. But when we did the research, we found out that it was a bunch of hooey. He was making up these stories, getting Christians all worked up and lathered up about a phantom problem. Now, I'm not saying Satanism isn't real, and I'm not saying Wicca isn't real, and I'm not saying cults aren't real, but I'm saying we shouldn't fall for conspiracy theories.
Gotcha.
And I've written about this, actually, in a book called The Covering.
Okay, so it's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get that.
And by the way, I want to tell you something. There is an actual Illuminati that actually existed at one time.
Okay.
It was started by an ordained Roman Catholic Jesuit who didn't like the Roman Catholic Church and wanted to start his own society and emphasized individuality, extreme prominence of reason, and so forth. So historically, there was an Illuminati. But what we have today with these Christian superstars who are concocting these tales is conspiracy theories.
Okay. Thank you much.
Hey, you got it, Reggie. Thank you so much for your call. This is a ministry that is not about titillating nonsense. It's about truth, that which corresponds to reality. We do what we do because truth matters. It's not always popular. It doesn't cause a scene. But you know what? Truth withstands the test of time. You go into a church and you win someone to Christ by some mythological story, some conspiracy theory, bashing other people in the process with what is not true. You might get a crowd, but you're not going to get a committed Christian, because what you win them by is what you win them to. If you use conspiracy theories, if you use lies, you're going to end up distorting the very reality of the Savior that you communicate. Because once these people find out that the story you won them by isn't true, they're going to wonder if the resurrection is true. In other words, they're not going to be solidified in their faith. They're going to be shaken in their faith. Truth matters. We do at the Christian Research Institute what we do because truth matters. We do primary research. So this is not about using secondary sources. This is about doing primary research. We know what we're talking about because we have invested our time and our resources in primary research so that we can take the truth and communicate it in an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. So stand with this ministry if you can, prayerfully and financially. We don't do what we do to be popular or prosperous. We do it because truth matters. If you love truth, stand with this ministry. Pray for us. Stand with us financially if you can. Every time I tell the truth on some of these subjects, people drop off and say, I'm not supporting you anymore, because they like the titillating conspiracy theories. Well, we want people to stand with this ministry who love the ring of truth. You can do it in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks again for tuning in. See you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. For your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max McLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God? What is truth? Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.